Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one show to bring you all things Club America in English, from tactical analysis to player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Today, I'm going to be bringing you guys all the latest and greatest news in regards to Las Águilas del América. We'll recap that that fun thrashing that was 4-0 against FC Juarez. And then, of course, we're 24 hours away before América faces off against Puebla. So we'll get you guys a preview and talk about some of the transfer news that didn't happen or might still potentially happen. And then, of course, just a couple of other club news relating to what's going on in the world of Las Águilas del América. Alrighty then. Well, today is one of those days, a solo podcast. Unfortunately, no one else was available to kind of record this week. And, well, we definitely thought you guys deserved the podcast. So here I am today live. So if any of you guys just want to join in and chime in your thoughts or questions, I'm more than happy to read them and you know, continue the podcast as well as through that avenue. But other than that, it should be interesting, should be fun. And yeah, let's dive into the world of Las Águilas del América, because there is a lot to kind of break down and talk about. I think there was obviously a lot of positive stuff that's been going on in this past week regarding Las Águilas del América, right? Another victory, another 4-0. Well, not another 4-0, but, you know, another victory filled with goals, filled with good performances. And we're starting to see a trend here. And I guess that's where I want to start in regards to this trend is Víctor Dávila, a player that, again, I praised very much so last episode, right? I said he was coming off a really good couple of games, right, against Santos. And then he does a good job against San Luis as well, gets a double. And now, again, against Juarez, was able to get another goal himself. So it looks like he's starting to kind of grow into the player that many of us dreamed he would be. And he's starting to feel like an actual reinforcement, right? We didn't get to have him for a majority of the season last year. He came in very late at the end of the transfer window. And then shortly afterwards would end up getting injured. Wouldn't come back until Liguilla, but he never really was going to be that star player in such a short period of time. It was just too much of a big ask, if you ask me. But he's coming into this new season, like I mentioned, a chip on his shoulder. He knows that he has no guarantee that he's going to be in the starting 11. And he's taking his opportunity from the get-go. I mean, you look at the performances he's had these past couple of weeks. I mean, the goals he's scoring, the runs he's doing. Just ultimately, he's playing like the best number nine we've ever seen in an América jersey in quite some time. And in the fact that he doesn't necessarily play the role that Henry does, he doesn't necessarily play the role that Buffalo Aguirre does. He's playing his game, you know, his style of number nine. And it's funny enough, because I was joking last week that, you know, with him at the number nine, America's not so resilient to throwing all these crosses into the box. And, you know, it's not like he's as tall as Peter Crouch or something. He's going to win you an aerial duel. But funny enough, he scored last week against Juarez with a header off a cross. So that is a kind of funny when you think about it in that perspective. But again, great job by Víctor Dávila. I think he, again, showcasing that he is looking for a spot. And I think at this point, kind of like me and Dylan spoke about last week, he's unmovable, right? Even with Henry coming back from injury, even if Buffalo Aguirre is ready to get minutes as well, it's going to be Jardine's biggest task at figuring out which one of these players is going to be your number nine. And at the moment, I mean, Víctor Dávila is winning that race. So, you know, it's great. It's great to see that, you know, Víctor Dávila is doing wonderful in that position. And I think we just kind of just go from there. Absolutely. But all right. The Juarez game, right? I know the highlight of Victor Dávila, and he played a fantastic game, but it wasn't just him, right? I mean, Alejandro Sendejas, again, was playing the best football that we've seen him play in an América jersey, and it just seems to be a continuous trend. He continues to be the best player in an América jersey, it seems like, and so I'm excited that he can continue this good run of form. I mean, he's going to be crucial in a very good CONCACAF Champions Cup run, and then, of course, in the league. So again, kudos to Sendejas. And it feels like I've been repeating this for the past couple of podcasts, but it's just he's been that good for us that I don't want to downplay the fact that he's just been this ultimately great player for us. So yeah, Sendejas, amazing. Love the fact that he's performing in the way that he's been doing. And, you know, Chiquito Sanchez, again, another player that deserves his praises. And this game somehow feels like a rinse and repeat of what we saw against Atlético San Luis, at least with the players that were performing and doing good, which is great. You want to see that these players can consistently week in and week out do a good job and can perform and can, you know, be a player that can you can count on day in and day out. And they're starting to showcase that. So again, very good stuff from America. Very good stuff from these kind of fringe players that we thought maybe potentially were fighting for a starting 11 spot. Your Chiquitos, your Victor Dávilas, and, you know, who else am I trying to remember here? Alan Cervantes played a pretty good game as well, and he's going to have a very important role with Las Águilas del América within this next month. Obviously, with the news that Jonathan Dos Santos picked up an injury, he's going to be important in that midfield, you know, as the disruptor. Maybe not so much in the holding side of things and maybe not so much in the passing department, but he is going to be important in the way that América not only transitions from attack to defense, but also, you know, with the way that he's able to kind of disrupt the play from the opposing side. So, again, it's going to be interesting. And it's good to see that his level is at a good one. And hopefully it can continue to stay like that. And, you know, so on and so forth. They can go about it and continue to perform in what should be a long and treacherous season for America. But honestly, really, I mean, to highlight a whole squad would take pretty much hours on out. And I do want to give praises to those that I think played one heck of a game. This might be controversial. I don't know anybody listening to this would think otherwise. But I know Brian Rodriguez was kind of the poster boy of this game. 2 goals. I'm not too sure if he got an assist. But he obviously came out of this game with 2 goals, a lot of confidence. And he looked, I would dare say, okay on the pitch, right? I don't think this was his best game by far, which again is funny enough that you know, Liga MX, the official league account, named him as MVP of the jornada, and that made me wonder if they were even watching the America game or if they just ended up watching the highlights. And even the goals that, you know, Brian Rodriguez scores, they're a little iffy, right? The first one with Jurado should have done a much better job in trying to catch that ball. Gives up the rebound. Brian Rodriguez is there, slots it home. And then that second goal where Jurado gets a toe to it, and then it kind of just trickles in very slowly. It was one of those games where I think, obviously, if you produce and you score, you get on that score sheet, you know, that self-score rating is going to go up, and, you know, people are going to look at you in a certain way. But look, it's not to say that Brian had a terrible game. I just think he was struggling in those 1v1 duels. I think he could have done better in trying to take on the defenders. And his decision-making, again, is something that we've heavily criticized Brian Rodriguez. I think his decision-making sometimes in making a pass or making a run was a little bit off in this game, right? The prior 2 games, I think he was looking good whenever he had minutes. And I think in this game, he maybe just didn't have his best game, but he was still productive in the end of the day. So there's, I guess, not really much we can say and blame him for. I mean, he still did what he needed to do. And obviously, kudos and praises to him because he was able to do that. Other than that, I think Who else am I trying to remember? I just, from the attacking perspective, I think I spoke about everybody, right? Brian, Davila, Sendejas, Chiquito, Fidalgo, of course. But, you know, he's continuously been Fidalgo. And as long as he continues to be that player and that caliber of player, then I don't think we will ever have a different discussion in regards to Fidalgo. And I know Christian's probably very happy hearing me say those words about his oh-so-beloved Fidalgo. But, yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, it was a very well-rounded matchup, a very good game for the Americanismo, not only for the people that showed up to the stadium, but for the people at home watching this game. It was a nice Saturday evening, a very early Saturday matchup. So for those of you who were on the West Coast and were able to watch this game at 3 p.m., I'm sure it felt a little bit odd and different, but hey, you had the rest of the day to continue to do about and enjoy your weekend. So I know that was very, very nice as well, at least from my perspective, to be able to watch America enjoy that victory and then going about your day with that result in your pocket. What better way to kind of round out the weekend than with America showcasing what they did against Juarez? And again, solid performance. The youngsters came in, got some good minutes. Dagoberto, I guess this is the one player that I didn't mention, but had an absolutely amazing game, played out of his skin. And I think he's really trying to, you know, cement himself as a starter. And it's going to be difficult because Kevin Alvarez was doing things very well. Of course, the injury came in at a very misfortunate time for Kevin, but very fortunate time for Dagoberto, who gets to, again, piggyback off of that like he did last season. And he's taking advantage of this. He knows that Kevin Alvarez is in hot form, and he's coming in and trying to do a very good job, and he's producing. You know, he's looking quick. He's sharp sometimes with his decision-making in the final third, which sometimes could be a little bit tricky for a guy his age and especially in his position. But he's not afraid to go on and take players, which is, again, a bonus and a plus to have in a right back. I know that he's comfortable in the midfield as well, too. So maybe that's why he's so used to kind of being in the final third and not kind of, you know, looking over his shoulder and thinking, well, what am I going to do with the ball? He kind of has an idea of what his pass is going to be or his shot or something. You know, he knows that there has to be an end product to it, and he's producing well in that sense. So, yeah, shout out to Dagoberto. Again, performing well, doing well, and I absolutely enjoy it to see him come in, not only get the full 90, but show us that he is capable and hopefully can be a regular for America in the upcoming future. So I think that is that in regards to this game against Juarez. And hopefully, you know, this is a showcasing that this side looks to be like they are capable of not only just achieving, right, the Tetracampeonato, but also achieving, you know, the CONCACAF Champions Cup, everything that they've set their sights on, that they're capable of doing so, right? They're well rested. They're coming in with a preseason. They're coming in good shape and good form, and it's just maintaining, staying healthy. You know, we already have two big injuries that have kind of stifled us, but we do have some depth that we can rely on. So now it's balancing both of those sides of the spectrum for America. And so, again, you know, they remain undefeated. It's a total of, what is it now, 4 wins and 1 draw. So they're at 13 points. I mean, what more could you have asked for, right? I know we would have wanted to have all 5 victories, but when you're looking at this from a perspective of how much improvement have we made from last season to this season, I mean, it's an immense. I don't think America had this many points until, like, maybe the jornada, what, 10, 12? I mean, they're looking like a much better team than they were last season. And that should say something. You know, that should really say something. It looks like we've somehow found a way to tweak it so that we have a whole new different team, if that makes sense in any way. You know, I know we didn't get any reinforcements. I know that we didn't get any real major boost in players either coming or leaving. But it in some ways, in an odd and very crazy way, it feels like this America side somehow managed to get better in the offseason after winning the Tricampeonato. I mean, that is beyond crazy to even say. But we're living in that, you know? And I know that there is going to be caution thrown to the wind, and I'm one to do so very, very much. You know, a lot of the criticism that America has been getting, even though that we have been in such a stellar form, is, well, look at the calendar that we've had, right? It's not the most tough, it's not the toughest of opponents. And I wish I would have had a co-host or a couple of people on the podcast so I can kind of bounce this question off, but I will leave it to you guys as well. And my question is, how much of this should we take with a grain of salt in regards to America's form, America showcasing in the league? I know the sample size isn't the best because it hasn't been the most toughest opponent. But at the same time, I think that, you know, this America side has showcased that they have the grit to go out there and not necessarily grind out a result, because we've never really seen them grind one out. Maybe the youngsters did, but at least the starting team, you know, they've been blowing teams out of the water. Again, I know Santos, bottom of the table. San Luis, also at the bottom. I think Juarez was the only one that wasn't all, you know, literally fighting at the bottom. But again, it's names that aren't necessarily going to be like, oh, well, you know, these are games that America is expected to win, and America is expected to win in this fashion. I mean, you know, it's kind of like what Jose is saying in the chat. He's saying those are teams they're supposed to beat. And I agree with you. I 100% agree with the fact that, you know, America should be going out there and beating your Santos, your Juarez, your San Luis's. But I think in the way that they're winning these games, I think that should give you a much better indication that this team has definitely grown, has definitely gotten better. We're not grinding out results the way that we did in the Apertura. We're not keeping it close. You know, even when we're just up by one, you feel like the next goal is coming. Even after two, you feel like the next one's coming. And again, it's showcasing, again, a small sample size, but it's showcasing that this team is much better off because of the preseason, because of the extra rest, because of everything that kind of came before today. It looks like that's ultimately showcasing on paper. And even though it's a sample size of, hey, these are teams you're supposed to win every single time, the reality is America's supposed to win every single game, whoever they play. Whether they play Juarez or whether they play Real Madrid, the expectation is always going to be the same. So we'll see what happens. Jose is also adding in the chat. He says, worry if they lose games. Last year, this game were the ones they would lose or tie. And yeah, Jose Sepulveda, 100% speaking truth right there, right? I mean, just this game in the next 24 hours that we're going to have against Puebla, a game that everyone thought was winnable last season, at our own stadium, we ended up losing. We dropped very important points, you know? And now if America goes out there and blows them out of the water, well, the narrative is going to be, well, it's Puebla. They're supposed to win this game, right? So it's a double-edged sword. I get that. And maybe we're not going to get a true testament until we play the likes of, you know, Pumas, Cruz Azul, Monterrey, Tigres, Chivas, you know, maybe even León, because of course they're in form right now as well. Once you start playing those bigger teams and you start producing results, and if you blow those teams out of the water, then I think, you know, you can't chuck it up to luck and you can't chuck it up to, you know, coincidence. I think you have to kind of give merit to the sense that, hey, this America side is the real deal. And so I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But yeah, I don't know how much of a grain of salt we should take these results by. If they should just be that, just the results, and enjoy them for what they are, or if we should be able to read into this maybe a little bit more and say, you know what, we're looking unstoppable. But I guess I digress, right? It's up to the interpretation of each and every single one of you. And I think the Americanismo as a whole, as a collective, would, you know, maybe lean towards the side of, hey, we're doing well, but we're doing what we're exactly supposed to be doing. Nothing more, nothing less. And now it's just maintaining that form and maintaining that rhythm, which I think that's going to be the more difficult thing in the long run, is can you do it in two different tournaments, and can you produce the same results in both tournaments and walk away with trophies? So again, that I think is going to be ultimately the real test, and we'll see what happens. March is going to be a very, very important month for America. And slowly but surely, hopefully, this team showcases that they are that good and as legendary as we hype them up to be. So those are my two cents in regards to these victories, not just against Juarez, but these past couple of games. I think we've been doing a very good job, and hopefully we continue in that forefront. So, yeah, America, Juarez, still undefeated, 13 points, second in the table. Looking good. Just steady the course. But all right. Let's move on into transfer rumors and transfer news, actually. So, as many of you guys know, the transfer deadline day for Liga MX was this past weekend. América was looking like it was going to be a very quiet transfer deadline day. Although, after the Juárez game, all hell kind of broke loose with Diego Valdez. You know, he wasn't at the stadium. He wasn't in the starting 11. He wasn't in the match day squad. He didn't play with the U23s. Andrea Jardinet came out and spoke and said that there was a couple of offers for Diego Valdez, and that he had given him the day to kind of think it over and to think, you know, about his future. We'll see. He's basically ended up saying, we'll see what he ends up deciding. A couple hours later, Diego Valdez comes back and says, you know what, I'm staying with America. I'm going to see it out. I'm going to try to win the confidence of the coaching staff again. And I'm going to try to win my place back as number 10. Where do we land in all of this? I think it's interesting. Diego Valdez is a player that I think not necessarily has expired his time at America, but I do think his chapter is slowly but surely coming to an end. This could have been a perfect moment for him to leave on a high. I know that one of the teams that was very much heavily asking about him was Toluca. And, you know, it's a direct rival, obviously. And it's a team that you don't want to reinforce in any way. But when you're looking at Diego Valdez, an aging Diego Valdez, a very injury-prone Diego Valdez, you feel like, you know, would he have fit that system? Maybe. Would we have seen a much better Diego Valdez than what we've seen in the past couple of years? Probably not. I think that, you know, he's at a decline. And it's unfortunate because I think he's been the best number 10 America has had in well over, 10 years, give or take. Maybe even more, actually. Look, this whole Diego Valdez thing is going to come to an end one way or another. If it's not going to be this clausura is most likely going to be in the summer. It just seems like he's fallen out of favor. His tantrums have been an issue. And he's like made out of glass and always getting injured. That's not something you want to see from your stellar number 10. And I think America would have put themselves in a prime position to not only get rid of him, make some money, but free up a lot of wages. And I think that would have been helpful in trying to pursue different avenues with different players. So that officially has been kind of ruled out as far as Toluca goes, of course, because the transfer window closed. But the latest rumor is that Diego Valdez could potentially still have some offers from Brazil or the MLS. Their transfer window doesn't close yet, so it's going to be interesting to see how this saga ends. He says that he wants to fight for a spot in the starting 11. He wants to kind of gain the confidence again, and hopefully, you know, he does, because this America side is a much better America side with the Diego Valdez, but a top-notch Diego Valdez. You know, if we get a Diego Valdez, even at 70%, I don't think we're going to be gaining anything at this point. So, interesting to see how this saga ends, but that is at least everything that we know in regards to Diego Valdez leaving Las Águilas del América. Another player that we spoke about that could potentially be leaving and we thought might have left this January transfer window was Richard Sanchez. It ultimately came down to the player. He said, you know what? The wages aren't enough. I like my life here in Mexico. You know, even though he's been, you know, rumored to be having marital problems, he still wants to kind of have his family live in Mexico. He's enjoying his time in America and has adapted this new role that he's coming off the bench, being a depth player, and can offer something, you know? So, again, it's one of those things where you say, well, it is kind of what it is. We shot ourselves in the foot. We couldn't get rid of him sooner. And, I mean, he produced last season, right? He produced with that tremendous goal against Cruz Azul in the semifinal. He scored the banger against Monterrey in the final. I mean, you can't really write off Richard Sanchez just like that. I know a lot of us Americanistas are quick to kind of have such a short memory, but he is, in one way or another, a valuable player to come off the bench. It is unfortunate that he does take up a foreigner spot, but kind of it is what it is in that sense, and we're just going to have to ride this one out with Richard Sanchez, and we'll see. We'll have to see. But, yeah, those were the two rumors that we had heavily linked with leaving the club, right? There was rumors of Brian Rodriguez potentially leaving to Brazil as well, and the offer just didn't seem enticing. Sendejas had a couple of offers himself, Again, wasn't enough money, and he think he's too valuable of a player that there will be there will have to be a very big bid in order for him to kind of leave the club. So ultimately, no movements from America. No ins, no outs. The question still stands, how is Igor going to get registered? If he's going to get registered, he'll be able to play CONCACAF Champions Cup, since there's no really limit to foreigners in that department. But everyone else, yeah, it's going to be a real head-scratcher. I don't know. Let me know how you guys feel about this January transfer window. I know a lot of us are not too content with the fact that we didn't at least add one piece to this ever-growing puzzle that is this America side under Jardinet. I think the biggest thing is that America could have used some reinforcement on that left-hand side. I think Brian Rodriguez needs competition. We always thought that Victor Dávila was going to be that player. But again, if he's kind of adapting this new role in this number nine, and he's right now the leading goal scorer in the league, you got to keep him in that number nine spot. So again, who's going to come out there and battle Brian Rodriguez for his starting spot? There's no real natural winger that can play on the left-hand side. Javito, I guess, can do somewhat of a decent job, but I think he's more naturally preferred on that right-hand side, even by Jardine himself. And it's not to say that Javito's having a stellar season either, too. I think he's one of those players that needs to step it up and have a much bigger impact. But I do feel like that left-hand side needed a boost and needed to get much more reinforcement, at least so that way Brian Rodriguez doesn't get too comfortable and feel like, oh, this is mine for the taking. You know, it's a given. I'm going to start every single game. Because what happens when you get complacent and you get lazy? You feel like you don't need to perform or produce, and you start getting flat. And that's the last thing we need from such a dynamic player and such an important player on the pitch as well, with the way that, you know, the ball moves and the tactical side of things. So I think he's an important piece to the puzzle, but we should have brought in a reinforcement. Maybe even a Mexican reinforcement. I don't know if there was anyone out there that could have potentially gave him a run for his money, but we needed someone. And unfortunately, it looks like we ended up with no one, right? I guess America could still somehow manage to bring in a left winger if Diego Valdez leaves, because a foreigner spot would be open, and maybe they aren't so keen on signing Igor just yet. But the only way that would happen is if the player coming in is in the free agent market, and it doesn't look like there's any real big names out there that can come in and potentially make a big impact. So we'll see. We'll keep you guys up to date. So make sure you guys follow us over on Twitter at Eagle Eye Podcast and all of our different social media platforms as well. Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. We're all over the place. So make sure you guys follow us over on those platforms. And we'll keep you guys up to date as always. But in regards to that, that was the only news I had in regards to transfers. Club news, the biggest one, of course, being Jonathan Dos Santos is out for potentially a month, maybe even longer, depending on the diagnosis that he gets from a specialist. It looks like he strained something, or You know what? Let me actually pull it up before I start making false allegations. But it looks like this injury that Jonathan Dos Santos sustained in practice is one that is unfortunate for America, because it looked like we were starting to get a much better Jonathan Dos Santos. But now it looks like we're back to having Alan Cervantes be that center defensive mid destructor. But he's out with a sprained right knee, and they're going to send him out to a specialist, and it could potentially be a much longer injury. So we'll have to wait and see. Ritual 33-3 saying, today I saw on X Davila for America. Is Davila a free agent? And if he is, I don't think he's a left winger, though. He would be a natural fit for Diego Valdez, though. I guess player like for like, in the sense he can play cam or center forward. But I don't... Davila doesn't strike me as a left... I mean, Diabala doesn't strike me as a left winger. But I guess would be interesting. Diabala and Victor Davila, though, strike me as very similar players. So I doubt that would come true. But hey, crazier things have happened in this team and in this league. But going back to the Jonathan Dos Santos thing, of course, it's unfortunate. We would have liked to have a very fit and healthy squad. And unfortunately, right, Kevin goes down. Now Jonathan goes down. Again, it's the reliance on that depth, and that midfield is thinning. So we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, that is the news in regards to Jonathan Dos Santos. We'll keep you guys up to date again if there's any updates in his recovery. But for the meantime, as things stand for now, the ETA, I guess, for his recovery is about a month. So hopefully it's that and not anything more. Because I mentioned March is going to be huge for America, and we're going to need everybody available. So yeah, that's what we got in regards to America in the club news, transfer news, and I think that's all I got in regards to my notes here. All right, so moving on, let's talk about America versus LAFC. Just real quickly, I briefly wanted to touch upon this matchup just because it is happening next week. America is traveling presumably with all of their starters. It looks like this is kind of going to be a hybrid matchup for preseason / getting into rhythm for CONCACAF Champions Cup as well, from what it looks like. For those of you based out in LA and going to this game, I don't have confirmation if we'll be there or not, but regardless, we're going to be covering this matchup on Twitter, so make sure you guys stay tuned for that. It's going to be a fun and interesting game for America, at least, to kind of, again, start building momentum, getting more reps in, getting minutes for the likes of Henry, for the likes of Buffalo. You know, these players that are coming in back from injuries, it's going to be important, right? And if Kevin is ready to get a couple of minutes as well, this game will be that game for them. And LAFC is a pretty decent test, right? They're coming into this one getting ready for their season. So I think it's going to be important that they find their rhythm, and America is looking to continue theirs. So again, if you're going to this game, I don't have confirmation yet whether or not we'll be going. But if we do, we'll let you guys know. And if we are there, make sure you stop by, say hi. If you guys run into us, we'll do our best to try to give you the best coverage over there at BMO Stadium. Let's see. Jose is asking, off topic, but where can you get tickets to watch games in Mexico? I'm from Guadalajara. I'm going to Guadalajara to watch the Clásico in March, but I don't have tickets, so I don't want to use a scalper. Great question, Jose. Very odd, very random, and very, very off tangent to what we were just talking about. But what I know is majority of the tickets that you buy when you're going to go see America is through Ticketmaster over there, through their Mexico website. So Make sure you go to Ticketmaster.mx. But this game is going to be a little bit different because it is going to be in Guadalajara, so it's not a home game for America specifically. But I would still check Ticketmaster in Mexico, right? So go to Ticketmaster.mx and see if they have tickets available there. At least you know that that's a trusted site. If not, then I'm not necessarily saying go with Scapplers, but reach out to people that are within the area or people that live in the city, and that could potentially get you an idea as to what website you go through. I mean, maybe you can even go I know no one's going to want to do this, but you can directly go through the Chivas website as well, and maybe they have a link to where you can purchase tickets. So I think there's options there. But for the most part, just check Ticketmaster. I think you should be fine. But yeah, thank you for the question. So if anybody else is going out there, shout out to you guys. Should be a fun and interesting matchup. Depending on what the result is in the CONCACAF Champions Cup, we could have a full week of Clásico action. So again, March. March is an interesting one. But all right, let's see. All right, it looks like nothing left to say here but preview the matchup against Puebla, 24 hours away from kickoff. I'm excited to see America once again playing on the road in what was our home field stadium against Monterrey in the final. Very odd stuff going on with America and stadiums, but the Estadio Cuauhtémoc, I want to say it's the second home for America in this new odd era that we're living in since we don't have the Estadio Azteca, but it's looking like, you know, this stadium could potentially be our second home. Regardless, we're going up against Puebla, a team that has been struggling. And again, it's a matchup in where you look on paper, America should be beating this team 10 times out of 10. We know that they got us last season. And, you know, I don't know how much you can call revenge to be on the table, but we do want to come out there and we do want to win. We do want to gain points. But most importantly, we want to continue the rhythm and we want to continue the good form. It looks like everything points to kind of a rinse and repeat of the starting 11, with maybe Sebastián Cáceres coming back into play and you're pushing Israel Reyes out to the right-hand side. I personally don't like it. I would like to see Dagoberto keep that starting 11 spot, and predominantly because he also helps with the youngster minute rule thing. But the midfield looks like it's going to be the same with Cervantes, Chiquito, and Álvaro Fidalgo. On the wings, you're going to have Sendejas and Brian. And of course, up top, you're going to have Victor Dávila. Again, the goal scorer for the league right now, it looks like there is nobody stopping him. And if he continue to keep going, keep scoring, I mean, he's got every right to go out there and be America's number 9 this season. You know, even with Henry, even with Buffalo, I think the man's on form. He's hot. You can't afford to not have someone like that start and continue to produce. So, again, by all means, this could be a season. If he can continue to do so and produce on the pitch, then, hey, who are we to complain, right? So, look, this game is going to be at 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 Central, 10 Eastern, a late one for a Friday night matchup. But hopefully America goes out there and continues to produce what we've been seeing, right? The most important thing that we can take away from these past couple of games is that America is dominant when they have possession, but they're not reckless when they have the ball. They may lose it here and there, but they're very quick to try to get it back. And they don't lose their head necessarily whenever the team kind of falters back and sits very deep waiting for the America attack. And what America does very well at times is they give the ball to the opposition and they invite them to go and attack them, which leads to America counterattacks. And so it's just how America plays it. It will be interesting. I think another thing to note is that, you know, around the 65th to the 70th minute, Jardine likes to make some substitution and switch the formation around, right? So instead of going with a 4 4-3-3. He's going with a 5-3-2. And I don't know. It's looking good, you know? And I'm enjoying seeing kind of both formations. And I don't know. It's interesting. Chris is asking, what happened when Igor Lichnowsky comes back? Same back two, or you move to a back three? I think you keep your back two. With Igor, you have a lot of security in the air. He covers space very well. I think it's simple to say that if Igor does play, and we'll most likely see him play in CONCACAF Champions Cup, it will be with a back two. So unless it's like the 65th, 70th minute, then of course I think we would transition into that back three, like I was saying, with what Jaden has been doing. But back to this Puebla game. I guess really honestly what we want to see is just an America side perform, produce, and walk away with 3 points. You know, I guess we're all necessarily expecting a blowout in a sense. And even if America doesn't give us that, if they give us a well-rounded matchup and it's only 1-0, I think we'll still be content. We won't be overly joyful, but we will have something to go with and we will have something to go by. So, yeah, it should be a fun and interesting matchup. So we'll see what happens in regards to that. Let me see. I think, honestly, that's all I got. If you guys want my prediction, I'm going 2-0. I don't know. Is that good? Is that bad? I would love to say 4-0, but I don't want to run the risk of anyone getting upset at that. But look, I'm predicting an America win. Hopefully that is the case and America continue to stay the course that they're in and produce and perform and do what they're doing ever so well. But yeah, make sure you guys follow us over on Twitter. We'll keep you guys up to date with everything going on. AJ does an amazing job in making sure that he gives you guys the best coverage, the best goal gifts and reactions. Right now he's doing an amazing job with the ladies who are playing. So shout out to them. It looks like they're doing a very good job against Mazatlan. And I'm sure that AJ will be more than thrilled if America can produce a couple of goals against Puebla so he can do his thing on Twitter. So make sure you guys follow us on that side of things. And yeah, again, hope you guys are enjoying the content. Hopefully you guys are enjoying the coverage. Hopefully you guys are enjoying the podcast. You know, I apologize for the solo one, and this one dragged on a little bit more than what I'm usually used to doing whenever I'm doing a solo show. But we'll be back next week. And if we do, for whatever reason, get approved for credentials for the LAFC Club America matchup, we'll be live still next week. But this time, we'll be doing a live show straight from the stadium. So, yeah, keep an eye out on that. Hopefully, that is the case. If not, we'll be back next week and we'll talk all things Club America as we usually do. So, with that said, I don't think there's anything else to kind of add on or drag on. Let's just hope, again, America continues their good run of form. They go out there, produce, perform, and we're talking about a Victor Dávila hat trick next week, you know? But yeah, that's pretty much all I got. Hopefully you guys have, again, enjoyed the show. We'll be back next week. Hopefully it's not just myself here rambling on and on and on and on. But if it is, I promise to have a much better organized show. I feel like I was a little bit everywhere today. But yeah, again, thank you guys for everything. We'll be back next week. We'll talk all things Club America. And if you guys are going to the game and we, for whatever reason, do end up going, I hope we get to see you guys over there, get to catch up. And then, of course, we'll come back, get ready for that Valentine's Day matchup against Necaxa. So that should be a good one. With that said, I hope you guys take care. Have a wonderful night. And as always, Arriba America. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.